This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And that's me. I'm your host. Thank you for still tuning in, even though you hear that. Rick Moore here on WNRN's Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. It is the 26th of June, and our guest today, Mr. Brian Wheeler. Fired up, sir.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here. It is a beautiful Sunday. Finally, a Sunday where it's not drizzling, it's not humid, it's not 90-plus degrees, and you and I are sitting inside.
It's unfortunate, but somebody has to be here.
That's right. Somebody has to be here. And fortunately, somebody is here with me because I have to be here. Thank you so much. We are going to be talking with Mr. Brian Wheeler. He is the founder and executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow.
Yes.
And I guess Charlottesville Tomorrow, since 2005 is when Charlottesville Tomorrow came about?
That's right. Two of my board members, Rick Middleton and Michael Bills, they actually go down as the founders, and they hired me with the rest of the board as their first executive director. So that's when it came together, and what we saw at the time was an information gap. We thought there needed to be more information about land use, transportation, community design issues in this community.
And this community, I would assume, goes down to Lovingston, where they're listening on 94.7.
You know, a lot of the issues we cover are regional in nature, so sure. Typically, the meetings that we cover, because we have a small staff, we're only covering government meetings in Charlottesville and Albemarle County. But, as you said, a lot of our issues are regional in nature.
And let me thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for allowing us to have Brian Wheeler on the program today and put Wake Up Call here on 91.9 WNRN. Today's programming, let's thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, where you are encouraged to be kind, have fun, and do the right thing. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports can be found at Barracks Road Shopping Center in Charlottesville. They have three locations in Richmond. And for more store information, it's brms.com. All right, Brian, let's talk a little bit about Charlottesville Tomorrow. I think for many people, I'm familiar with that name, but what is it again? What does they do? So you cover local issues, but other than covering it in a news manner, what is the role? What is the goal?
The goal is to share the best information possible about these decisions that impact our quality of life, Rick. So it's land use, it's transportation, community design. We could have picked other issues at the time in 2005. We thought those were the most important ones. But you could obviously take this model that we've got going now and expand it to things like education, to public safety, to other issues. And what we did in 2005 was establish ourselves as a credible source of reliable information. We went to all the meetings, we podcast them, we put up information on our blog. And at the time, blogging and podcasting was pretty innovative back then. It's really evolved over the past 6 years. And now we're known a lot, and I think the reason a lot of people recognize Charlottesville Tomorrow's name is because of our media partners. So whether that's WINA, which had me on their programming for about 4 years, NBC 29 has a feed of our stories on their website, but now the Daily Progress takes our stories and puts them in the printed paper. So those partnerships have allowed us to reach a lot more people than just Sean Tubbs and Brian Wheeler. Those are the two of us that are there full time. We just have two staff and a couple interns, but our goal is to get the best information possible, share it, so that the public will take action. It's not just about putting it out there and hoping something happens. It's put it out there, get people engaged with it so they can make better decisions. Decisions about elections, decisions about projects, road projects, development. But Charlottesville Tomorrow is objective, fact-based. We don't take a position on those things. And so holding true to that, what we now look back, because of the Daily Progress, we now look back on our work. And through that news perspective, we've always stuck to that. We don't have an editorial page.
And we are going to get into, it's a very innovative combination, a very innovative relationship to have Charlottesville Tomorrow with the local daily newspaper of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. Something that I think at the time people said, first one nationally to have that sort of combination of work. And I definitely want to get into that. But the one of the key things, from my understanding, again, Brian Wheeler, who's executive director with Charlottesville Tomorrow, and I think it's important that for people who are sitting here going, yeah, okay, I recognize that from being on the Daily Progress, or, oh, yeah, I've heard that in some way. I want to make sure that people have a good sense of what Charlottesville Tomorrow does. One of the main goals is to be unbiased. Mm-hmm. How does a news group, especially when you come from the blog perspective, stay unbiased? Because I think for many people, a blog is never unbiased.
Why would you say that?
Because I think for many people, the blog is written by the individual, and it's very difficult for one person, or in this case, two people, to not allow their personal perspective into the scene. And let's back up another step. Brian Wheeler was a member of the Albemarle County School Board, correct?
Correct, until last year.
And so I think for people who are somewhat involved in the local issues, at least the local school issues, they have a history of what Brian Wheeler stood up for, voted for, voted against, made commentary about it, and which side of the fence Brian's comments leaned towards. Mm-hmm. And so, if I'm familiar with that, wouldn't I take that and pick it up and put it with you as to what comments were made on Charlottesville Tomorrow?
You might. What you would not find on our blog, on our news center, is me using the word I, right? I don't say, I believe this. We've always written from an institutional perspective, grounded in our mission to provide the best objective information possible. So from day one, we've been writing these stories with the idea we were not going to take a position. We were just going to share the best facts possible. Let's get all the facts on the table so that people can make an informed choice. Now, has that been challenging sometimes when I'm on the school board and we're talking about the budget? Sure. I have to be very careful. But, Rick, in the middle of my tenure on the school board is when we launched the Daily Progress Partnership. And had Charlottesville Tomorrow, you know, compromised itself in any way by taking a position or being an advocate for a certain outcome, the daily newspaper never would have put us on the front page because that would have compromised their news integrity, right? So the Daily Progress can have an editorial page where they do share the paper's leadership's opinion, but Charlottesville Tomorrow does not have a place on our website where my board of directors or where Sean Tubbs and Brian Wheeler get to share their opinions.
We are, again, talking with Brian Wheeler from Charlottesville Tomorrow, which focuses on growth and development in an unbiased manner in our local area. Brian, how does Charlottesville Tomorrow pay its bills? Because I think for many people, who you owe bills to and how you come up with money to pay them causes you to lean some way.
Right. It has that potential, absolutely. So we're very thoughtful about that process, and it's mainly individual donors right now who have supported Charlottesville Tomorrow in a very generous way since 2005. We're always looking to expand that base of support, so I hope that people that find value in our information will consider making a gift to Charlottesville Tomorrow. We've gotten a few grants, but what I've learned about the foundation world is that this is a tough thing to explain to people about how Charlottesville Tomorrow works. And it's interesting. We've gone after some innovation money in the journalism sector. And to them, to some of the new thinking in journalism, what we're doing is sort of old school, right? We're putting words into a printed newspaper or onto a news website. And often the response we get is, well, we've heard of that. You know, tell us something we don't know. And so it can be a challenge. This is sort of a throwback in some ways to news gathering as it was done in the past, and I would argue has to be done in the future. If we don't have people in these meetings covering local government, covering decisions that are made late at night sometimes, the public's not going to have enough information to make informed choices about our community's future.
So you talk about how it's, in some ways, taken a step backwards, at least in terms of how things have been done. Explain how the decision came about to work with the Daily Progress. If you look at the Daily Progress, and I haven't looked at my Sunday paper, but when there is an article with Charlottesville Tomorrow as the headliner, what's the word?
Sure, we get the byline on
it's
the story.
The byline,
it has our logo.
You.
Yep.
And it comes with, it doesn't just say somebody's name, it also has the icon that goes with Charlottesville Tomorrow. How does this come about, and what alerts the reader that in any way it's different from someone who's actually employed by the Daily Progress?
Well, there are a couple visual indicators. One is our logo, as you mentioned. Our byline is certainly there with our email addresses, and so that you can see is different from dailyprogress.com. And then there's a tagline at the end of every story that explains Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonprofit partner with the Daily Progress. Going back to how this happened, I give a lot of credit to McGregor McCants, who's the managing editor at the Daily Progress. McGregor approached us, and initially he was interested in something you'll appreciate, the audio of the podcast of a lot of the meetings we covered. He was looking to get more multimedia content on the Daily Progress website. And that discussion evolved over the span of a couple months during 2007. And finally we came around to the idea, you know what, we're at a lot of these meetings that they don't have reporters at, or they would like their reporters doing more in-depth feature stories on other issues, what we call enterprise stories. So a lot of these meeting-based stories we were writing anyway, and what we found was an opportunity to place those in the newspaper with the endorsement of the Daily Progress to have that as reliable news content. So since 2007, we've written over 300 stories and had them published in the
Good
newspaper.
Grief.
Now 100% of what we write is linked on the Daily Progress website, and those links come back to Charlottesville Tomorrow.
But when you talk about how Charlottesville Tomorrow writing an article for the Daily Progress, and again, Mr. McCants was, I had the pleasure of interviewing him not quite a year ago, I think August of 2010. What I hear not being said is that when Charlottesville Tomorrow writes an article that the Daily Progress puts in there, I should see it as unbiased news, facts only. What do I see when I see a similar article about meetings, et cetera, written by a Daily Progress employee?
Well, I would argue you should look at them the same way in the Daily Progress. So if you see a news reporter writing a story, or if you listen to a radio, you know, news person here in town, and you hear them talking about a meeting on the radio, if they come at it from that journalistic background, then your expectation should be this is fair, objective news, that they're not taking a certain angle and trying to persuade you to go down a certain path. And that's something that, you know, as you said, certainly my background had people scratching their heads when we first launched Charlottesville Tomorrow, because I was a known figure in the community and had been actively involved in a number of issues, whether it was school or land use related.
A little political background.
A little
and
political.
And all politicians have a side.
And what's interesting, Rick, is that our board and what we have to do as staff is sort of check that at the door when we are doing our job. Now, it was something that we've evolved into, but I would say that now our approach that we did 2005 to 2007 is now being reinforced by the fact that we have this partnership with the Daily Progress. I would say now we're required to stick by that plan, because if we ever deviated from that, that agenda that we had back in 2005, don't take a position, if we ever deviated from that, the Daily Progress is going to say, well, Brian, thanks, it's been nice working with you, but we've got to move on. I don't want that to happen. The reason is our goal is the same, is to get the best information out there to as many people as possible. Before the partnership, the only people that really knew about us or maybe the 2500 that get my Monday morning email saying, here are the news headlines. If you didn't get my email, you probably weren't running into Charlottesville tomorrow. So the Daily Progress gives us a huge opportunity to reach tens of thousands of people every day. And that's worth a lot to us. Now, I would add that they are not paying for this content. That's something that a lot of people don't understand. There's no cash transaction taking place. What they do is make an in-kind gift of giving us the exposure, and they also print our election voter guides for local elections. So they've got a printing press. That was my big request in the deal was, you know, if we do this, we'll give you the content. You guys run the press every 2 years to print our voter guides.
11:16 here on the Wake Up Call. Feel free to call us if you have a question or a comment. Our guest today is Brian Wheeler. He's the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, an unbiased group writing articles and printing information on growth and development in our area. CharlottesvilleTomorrow.org. Is that the website?
That would probably work. I think I bought that one as well. But the one we put on our letterhead is SeavilleTomorrow.org.
I just remember Googling it, and whoever owns Google is making millions of dollars. Brian Wheeler, again, our guest today, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. You can also send me a question on the WNRN studio, which is the instant message site, if you have a question or a comment that way. Brian, I want to come back to the Daily Progress issue throughout the hour, and want to get into local media in general in a little bit. But the news, that's what you do. You talk about the local news, and there have been a handful of items that you seem to have focused on. It looks like that if I go back and I were to run some sort of search on Charlottesville Tomorrow, it seems that the water supply seems to maybe be the number one topic. I don't know that it's number one topic for if you walked on the downtown mall and interviewed only Charlottesville Albemarle folks. How does that reach the top of your list?
Great question. In 2005, it was at the top of our list because there was a pressing decision in front of this community. And back then, it was a consideration of which pipeline gets built. That's how it was really framed. Do we run a pipeline from Charlottesville down Route 20 to the James River in Scottsville and grab water there? Or do we collect more water here in our local watershed, the water that falls on Albemarle County? Do we collect that at the South Fork Ravanna Reservoir, run a pipe to Ragged Mountain, connect our two reservoirs, and store it there? So back in 2005, we jumped in because we thought that was a great opportunity to do what we wanted to be known for. We wanted to be known for taking a complex issue, boiling it down, making it accessible to the public, showing the pros and cons of two sides of something, showing the pricing of two different options, and let people come to their own conclusion. So in 2005, we sent out what we called then an action alert. We don't really call them that anymore. But we sent out this action alert and said, here's this major decision in front of the community. Here's our one-pager that outlines the two sides that are being talked about. Click here to send a message. And what was crazy at the time, people said to us, was, well, you didn't tell me what to say. Most of those action alerts you get by email, you know, they tell people what to say. Click here and tell.
Right. Put your name at the bottom.
Put your
of
name
it.
At the bottom of this form letter and send it to all the elected officials. We had a big blank box. And some people wrote a few words, you know, pick option A. Other people wrote three paragraphs on why they felt so passionately about this. And that was really eye-opening to us. I mean, we came into it knowing we wanted to do that, handle it that way. But what was eye-opening was the reaction we got, both people being sort of skeptical of why are you doing it this way, and then two, how thoughtful the people in this community were on this topic. And so, Rick, flash forward to where we are now. I think we made a decision in 2005 to go with that issue as our lead issue to focus on, and we've felt a commitment to stick with it. It's certainly gone down a different path than I ever would have expected. I never thought I'd be writing as much about the water supply plan this many years later, but it was an issue we felt like we had a core competence and knowledge about and a commitment to going to all those Ravanna Water and Sewer Authority meetings, the Albemarle County Service Authority, City Council, Board of Supervisors.
And where does it stand today? I mean, do you still get... because what I think of are there's two sides to the issue. And let me back up. There's two sides to what you do. There's the information that you provide. You pick the topic, the water issue, and then you step up and provide all the news and information into that.
Right.
And then there are the people who visit the site, who want the information because they found a topic that is important to them. Are there still the same number of people involved in this with their passion, with their interest, with their bias? And so are you putting out the information that's needed and wanted, or are you still, you're still following the topic that has been undecided, and there are fewer people, or there are people who have moved on mm-hmm. to something else that's at the top of their list?
I'm sure, Rick, there's some people that are done with water. You know, they'd rather not read another story about the local water supply. But the fact is, it remains an important public policy issue. And the reason is questions are still being raised about the decision that was made in 2006. So in 2006, the community picked a water plan. In 2007, questions started being raised about dredging, about alternatives. And we don't need to get into all the details of it, but those were important questions that were raised, and people needed more information. And I think people on both sides of the water plan would agree with that, that more information needed to be on the table. And that's where some of those people are still at today, is trying to get more information on the table. City Council, Board of Supervisors, the majority of those bodies have agreed on a plan now. So they have another plan that they've agreed on with, you know, a different height dam, different type of dam than what they originally thought they were going to build. But those bodies, they are ready to move forward. Other people in the community, especially people in the city, especially several people running for Charlottesville City Council, they want to keep this issue alive. They want to revisit that decision. So we're not going to turn our back on that. That's an important ongoing conversation that we think merits our attention.
11:23 here on the Wake Up Call. Our guest today, Brian Wheeler from Charlottesville Tomorrow. Dial us up. Send me an instant message. Ask your question. Make your comment. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly sunny today. Highs in the mid-80s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow. 20% chance of showers. Tomorrow... it's going to be highs 85 to 90, lower 90s in Richmond. Right now in the valley, 72, 74 in Lynchburg, 78 in Richmond, 78 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And support today also coming from L. Oppelman's, Central Virginia's complete music headquarters, continuously operated since 1890 at 909 Main Street in downtown Lynchburg. L. Oppelman's music department now featuring acoustic guitars, banjos, mandolins, and violins, as well as electric guitar packages from Fender and PV. Also available, complete drum sets. L. Oppelman, 909 Main Street in Lynchburg. Online, it's loppelman.com. All right, back with our guest today, Brian Wheeler. Brian, one of the big issues, and I had Charlottesville Mayor Dave Norris on here last Sunday, and the topic got me all just fired up, is the Western Bypass. Not so much. I understand that people want to be on one side or the other, and people, you know, whatever my side is and of the other, but the way the issue was handled, one of the, and I believe they're called core values from Charlottesville Tomorrow, is that the correct phrase?
That's right.
Says, we believe the democratic process works best in an atmosphere of open government and transparency. And I would find it difficult to believe that anyone but maybe 1% or 2% of those following the topic could claim that the decision of changing the plan was done in a manner of open government and transparency. How does Charlottesville Tomorrow visit this topic in anything more than just talking about the way the issue came about and the decision that was made.
Well, the most important thing we do, Rick, is attend the meetings, right?
I understand that Sean Tubbs was one of only two people to go down to Richmond for a meeting that played a key role in how this happened.
Right. Well, Sean Tubbs, we sent him down to the Commonwealth Transportation Board meeting, which came after this night, to follow up on the story. And that's something, you know, that increasingly local news organizations don't have the resources to follow an issue like this. I think the Western Bypass is going to be Charlottesville Tomorrow's next water supply, you know, story as far as number of stories and a commitment we put into this. But, you know, the process happened late at night, 11:30, after a long public hearing. This wasn't on the agenda. But, you know, a supervisor once told me, Rick, the most important time to be at a Board of Supervisors meeting is the first 10 minutes and the last 10 minutes. And I can't tell you how many stories over the years that we've broken that have come out of the last 10 minutes of being at a meeting. So we have this commitment to be there gavel to gavel. And because we were there, we were able to help tell that story. So when I look at our core values, the way we address that is we make sure it's clear in the narrative of this story what time it happened, what the process was around that decision, not to put a direct value judgment on what happened, but just to make sure it's crystal clear that it happened and how it happened. And that's our commitment. So we talked about the time. We went into detail about the nuance of the process, and we're able to tell that story in a way, I think, that's accessible to people and that they're able to then make up their own mind about whether that was a good thing or not. I certainly heard some of the supervisors who voted in favor of the bypass. They were, you know, on the radio the next day, the day after, and, you know, they were challenged. You know, why did you do that late at night? And they basically said, well, you know, maybe it wasn't the best time, but we thought it was the right time to make that decision. We had the votes and we wanted to go ahead. So they're okay with that. The people that voted on that decision late at night, and other people are not okay with it. And it's going to be a topic at the next Board of Supervisors meeting. Well, Ann Malik, the chair, has already sent out a message on her website saying the process around this decision is going to be a agenda item at the next meeting. So it's a conversation that will keep on going. Again, I go back to, you know, this Jeffersonian concept that's really at the heart of what Charlottesville Tomorrow is about, Rick, is if you equip people with the best information about their government, they will make good choices about the future. That's a Jeffersonian quote in a nutshell, and that's why that core value is in our mission statement.
11:28 on the wake-up call with Brian Wheeler from Charlottesville Tomorrow. An organization that covers growth and development in an unbiased way. Brian, I often refer to far too many people as first paragraph folks. And those are the folks who read the headline, read the first paragraph, and then consider themselves informed enough to move on. I would think that Charlottesville Tomorrow can't in any way catch the interest of the first paragraph folks.
Well, hopefully we are writing great first paragraphs. So I'm hoping we're catching more than maybe
I guess
in
it's
the
same as the first minute folks, and whether or not you and I got people to keep listening or go outside.
I mean, Rick, I like to think my first paragraphs are pretty good. Here's the thing. What's interesting about the Daily Progress Partnership, Sean Tubbs and I, when we were writing for Charlottesville Tomorrow, 2005, 2007, in that period, we didn't really think about the first paragraph. We were just trying to tell a story. It was more meeting-based. Here's what happened. And we didn't care how long the story was. We just, you know, got it out of our system, attached the audio to it, and shared that with the public. I've grown to have a much greater appreciation for the craft of good journalism, watching the work of the editors at the Daily Progress. I mean, we have learned a lot. This is a very collaborative partnership we have going with the newspaper, and they've helped us tell better stories. So our stories have gotten shorter, they've gotten more on point, and I think we're elevating to the top of those stories the most important points that you need to know, hopefully we are writing it in a compelling way that pulls you through the rest of the story. But, you know, we have another resource that's available, and I think it speaks to what this community is all about. This community wants in-depth information. We're a college town. People like reading and doing their own research. I mean, just look at the water supply plan. How many citizen activists have come out, done their homework, shared their research?
You can't go to the city market without there being a booth there. And
they're
somebody
all over the place.
To, yeah.
This is a crazy town when it comes to information. And so we, because we're tightening up our stories and just trying to give you the news value right there on any one of those pieces, we have a whole lot of nuggets of information we can't share in every story. So what we do is we link within a story on our website. If you go to SevilleTomorrow.org and you start clicking on links, you'll go to a resource we call Sevillepedia. Sevillepedia is our local community wiki, and it's wide open. It's a shared platform that anybody in the community can edit, but that gives us a tool. It's a database. It's a way we can tell everyone about the people, places, and events in this community, but in a more in-depth fashion. So you have those links there. Again, hopefully I'm getting you through the first paragraph. You're reading the whole story. But if that's not enough for you, know you can click on some of those links and get to even more.
Let me take a moment and thank Dixon Disposal for their support, allowing Brian Wheeler from Charlottesville Tomorrow to be on the program. Dixon Disposal reminds you that you can reduce household garbage by purchasing products with reuse and recycling in mind. Small changes in your lifestyle can keep our planet green for years to come. When Dixon's picks up your trash, they sort and separate it for recycling. You can help the planet stay green with curbside service from Dixon Disposal at your home or business. More can be found at 978-2111. Online, it's DixonDisposal.com. Here's a question from the instant message side. It says, have you been called out, such as by Rob Schilling or others?
Sure, I have. I need more information
I think
specifics.
I'm taking that to mean for not being unbiased.
Well, you know, early on, I think there were a lot of skeptics about Charlottesville Tomorrow, Rick. And, you know, not naming any names here, I'm certain there were people who were questioning what Charlottesville Tomorrow was all about. Because we came out of the box and said, this is a different kind of organization. We're a nonprofit. We're an advocacy group. What are we advocating? We're advocating people getting information and getting engaged and using it. But we're not taking a position on what are the right choices to make. And that blew people's mind. They were like, well, I don't believe that. Brian must have some agenda here beyond what he's talking about. Well, I think now you can look back on our body of work, 6 years, and you can make up your own mind about it. Is there a bias? The bias is we're picking certain issues. We're picking certain communities, Charlottesville and Albemarle. We're elevating those things into the public consciousness, but that's primarily a resource decision. We can only cover so many things. I think now, though, we have a model that shows the public wants this information. I'd love to have us expand, and now that I'm off the school board, cover education in the future. I mean, if we had a reporter covering both school divisions in the city and county, PVCC, University of Virginia, I could keep that reporter going all day, every day of the week, telling stories that are not being told right now about an issue that this public, in Albemarle County at least, when they've been surveyed, they've said education is the number one thing tax dollars should be used for to invest in. So I think there's another opportunity. I'm sure we're any media organization, anybody like a Charlottesville Tomorrow, a Sean Tubbs, a Brian Wheeler, anybody who's putting words out there for people to react to, is going to be called out by somebody.
11:35 on WNRN's Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Our guest today, Brian Wheeler from Charlottesville Tomorrow, a local unbiased news group. You mentioned Sevillepedia.
Sevillepedia, our community wiki. And, Rick, you have a brand new article
about
you.
Yeehaw. Another reason for people to link to that. I did stumble across that in doing my research, and I found something very amusing about Charlottesville Tomorrow loves pies.
We love pie.
Explain that a little bit.
Well, this goes back to finding a connection to place, I would say. Oftentimes when I would talk to people in the community, you know, they would say, you know, what is Charlottesville known for? You know, if you're out on the road visiting your relatives in some other community and they say, you know, what if I go through Charlottesville, what should I do? And food, we found, is something people like to talk about. So when I would be on the radio with Coy Barefoot at WINA, you know, we'd get into the details of the sewer system and the water plan and transportation projects and proffers and
that is not making me
developers
think of pie.
And I'm going to connect it back here. We wouldn't get a lot of phone calls, Rick, believe it or not. But as soon as we started talking about pie, the phones rang off the hook. Everyone had an opinion about pie that they were willing to share. Where's the best pie in Charlottesville? Albemarle County. And so I would talk about the great food items that I've run across in my travels, as limited as they are, you know, down in Danville. There's some great chicken salad at Mr. Grant's grocery store down there. Lynchburg, Montana Plains Bakery, great pies. So what do you think of as far as great Charlottesville foods?
Well, unfortunately, when you said pie, the first thing that comes to mind is the Albemarle County Fair.
Okay, which, pie contest.
Yes, which, you know, we're not having that this year, right? So
that's right.
The first thought about pie immediately brings
a
little frown to my face.
Wow.
But, you know, I grew up in a very large extended family, so my thoughts about pies fall into very large family gatherings. There's 40-plus people at my Christmas afternoon meal. And I didn't get to be the size I am by missing out on my pie slices.
Excellent. I love it. Well, I used pie basically as a vehicle to have us talk about Albemarle's rural countryside and some of the things that are special in this county, and certainly in the city as well. There's great pie we found in the city. So in this community, you know, we have these things. It gives us a sense of place. What is special about Charlottesville? I mean, Charlottesville Tomorrow was founded because we think this is a special place. That's very important. I mean, we're not just putting this information out there because we want people to be smarter and make better choices. We want the community to be better. This is a special place that deserves to be protected and celebrated. That's why, you know, many of us came to Charlottesville and stayed. And I count myself lucky to be among those. So pie, quite simply, was a way for us to talk about things that are special here in town.
I love it. All right, 11:39 here with Brian Wheeler on today's Sunday Morning Wake Up Call.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
And this week, The Hook offers some travel tips, how to make the most of public transportation and get where you're going fast and cheap. And you've heard about Biscuit Run and the millions in questionable tax credits. Has Hunter Craig, the brain behind Biscuit Run, pulled off a similar deal with Martha Jefferson Hospital? The Hook, two-time winner of the state's top journalism prize. And support today coming from The Backyard, the UVA Corner's secret at the end of Elliewood Avenue. The Backyard has a seasonal menu, daily specials, and a rotating list of beers on tap. For more info, 202-8215. Find them on Facebook. The internet, it's thebackyarduva.com. And in about 20 minutes, Drew Thompson will be here for Les Temps Perdue, the best 80s and 90s alternative, Husker Du, Motorhead, and the Bangles, brought to you in part by our groups here at WNRN. Request always welcome on Les Temps Perdue. All right, back in action with my guest today, Brian Wheeler. I've gotten a couple questions through the instant message. People who are sitting inside, if you want to use the phone, you're welcome to do that. Sean McCord out there scratching himself because the phone isn't ringing yet. 979-0919. I have a list of questions, though. 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN rocks. Brian, you have the webpage, full of news articles, unbiased manner, but you have an opportunity. There's a place there for readers to click and give their feedback. What news issues are attracting the most attention? Especially now with the Western Bypass, seems to be the biggest thing, at least in the local journalism, mm-hmm. whether it's folks having Rodney Thomas and others on their radio shows, whether it's the Daily Progress, The Hook, Sevo Weekly, etc. Is that following case with your readers?
Well, it's interesting, Rick. Our comments, and I would definitely encourage anyone listening to come and share your comments, but know that if you do so, we're going to ask you for your first and last name. We do not allow anonymous comments on Charlottesville Tomorrow's website, and we never have. And that really limits, believe it or not, the number of people willing to make a comment. So our comments volume, I would say, is small most of the time. The stories that are getting the most comments right now are certainly the water and Western Bypass, but then again, that's the majority of what we're writing about, it seems like these days. It's interesting. I think, the comments are a way for people to get engaged, but so is Twitter, so is Facebook, so there are comments on those platforms as well. People retweet our stories, people come to our Facebook page and comment there too. So there are lots of different places you can weigh in and give your feedback, and we definitely want people to do that. If I had any regrets, Rick, it would be that we don't have more time to sort of cultivate that commentary and help answer questions. We're often moving on to the next story. One of the things we're going to try to do this summer, we've gotten a grant, not ready to share the details of that yet, but part of that grant is that we're going to have some engagement resources, and we hope to better engage the public with our information. As you said, there's a lot of it, and we want to help people get right into it, get their questions answered, and equip them.
Back to the local media, you have Charlottesville Tomorrow. Let's go back to me also following the institution rather than the individual. So Charlottesville Tomorrow has a relationship with the Daily Progress. What about our other news groups here in the other local media? We have two weekly papers. We have our daily paper. We have several local area radio stations. We have, and I can't think of the phrase that's used, we have the local television, Channel 29 sort of being individual, and the others being, what do they call themselves, the news group?
The Newsplex.
The Newsplex, thank you. Is that a lot or a little for a town in an area of this size, and how does Charlottesville Tomorrow fit into it and play with others?
Yeah. Well, my sense is that we do have a lot, and it's an unusual amount of media for this size market. I think that's great. I mean, I want as many reporters as possible coming to these meetings, because the more people that are there listening and telling a story, the better it is for my business. I want people engaged and informed. So, I think Charlottesville Tomorrow, early on, we started engaging the media, even before we thought of ourselves as media. The media were some of our biggest customers, Rick. People would find our stories on our website, and then they would take that story and tell their own version of it. And we didn't always get credit, and that was okay. It was sort of a game we played. You know, could we get a story that we helped inspire into the newspaper or on TV or on the radio? I think, one of the things now that we are considered, part of the mainstream media, I guess, through the Daily Progress, is it's important to differentiate some of the resources that people have. I think it's important, as I said earlier in the program, to be there start to finish at a lot of these meetings. It's important to go to a lot of boutique meetings, you might call them, the Water Authority, the Transportation Authority. We sort of made a name for ourselves as going to those meetings, having that commitment to do so. But that's where these decisions get made. What kinds of decisions would be made if we weren't there? We have this ethic now in Charlottesville that I think has been created, where people expect our microphones to be on the table at every important public meeting. And before 2005, you know, when I started coming in and dropping the microphones down, people are like, what is he doing? What is he going to do with that audio? And our approach has always been just put it out there, gavel to gavel. Here's the podcast. And we'll give you a timeline on important podcasts. And you can get right to the point of the meeting where something important happens to you. But somebody has to be there to capture the conversation, to witness local government. So I give a lot of credit to the Daily Progress for their investment in its journalists. It's a shrinking newsroom. That's increasingly difficult for the Daily Progress. That's where we've been able to help out to a great degree. But also other media like WINA, Chris Callahan, Rob Graham, Jacqueline Piamarini. I mean, they have that similar commitment. You know, Chris Callahan is at all these meetings, school board as well, and he's there gavel to gavel and captures what's happening. So I think we have a rich media environment, and I would just encourage people, you know, to think about what it takes to produce an in-depth piece.
Is Chris Callahan there? And this is in no way meant to slight Chris Callahan or WINA, but are they there because you were there first and now they feel obligated to?
No.
It's been proven the importance, and so now they are there.
I think
as well?
Chris Callahan has always been there, going back many, many decades. No, I think WINA has always had that commitment, in my experience. So I was on the school board starting in 2003, and Chris Callahan or somebody from WINA was always at our meetings.
Let's talk local politics for a moment. Again, 11:47 on the wake-up call. Brian Wheeler from Charlottesville Tomorrow here. For those who aren't aware, Charlottesville Tomorrow is a local news organization covering growth and development in our area in an unbiased manner. You may see their byline on the Daily Progress, something that has been, I guess, was called a national first.
It was.
Joining the two together.
And to our knowledge, still unique.
But local politics.
Local politics.
Those things are upcoming. The races are beginning. Individuals are announcing that they are running for whichever group that they choose to be a part of. Is it news for Charlottesville Tomorrow to be there when the person makes the announcement?
Absolutely. That's when they're coming out of the gates, we want to document everything they say. Because that's, as a candidate, and I've done this, right? As a candidate, that's when you get your agenda out on the table for the public to start getting to know you. So we go to every candidate announcement, and on our website and Civopedia, you can watch videos of those candidate announcements. In addition, Rick, we've committed since 2005 to covering every candidate forum. And we've done those in podcast initially. Now we do them in video as well. And we transcribe those so that you can search through a PDF, an Adobe Acrobat PDF, search for keywords that might be of interest to you in a big debate. Helps you find something in a two-hour debate. We're going to host, with the Daily Progress, a city council candidate forum on July 20th. So that's 1 month out from the Democratic unassembled caucus or firehouse primary. That's when folks in Charlottesville will be able to decide which Democratic nominees they want for three seats on city council. So we're committed to it. In the county, we've got three seats for Board of Supervisors up this year, but we only cover those two elections, city council in Charlottesville and the Albemarle Board of Supervisors. It'd be great if there were other resources so we could cover school board and clerk of the court and sheriff and all those other things too, but we have to stay focused.
Many people say that it's just too much. There's too
much
news. There's too much. Well, you know, I had a conversation just recently about the use of a cell phone or the use of email, et cetera, and how there's just too much. I don't need all this information. And I would assume that Charlottesville Tomorrow says, not for these topics. Where do you draw the line?
Well, there's never enough information in my book, but I admit I'm an unusual customer when it comes to collecting and sharing information. That said, Rick, I think, you know, when people get engaged is when something happens to them personally. Something happens in their backyard. something happens in a decision by an elected official that they weren't expecting and that it's going to impact their lives. So when that light bulb goes off for somebody, Rick, I want them to think, Charlottesville Tomorrow is going to help me come up to speed on that issue. So the Western Bypass may not be somebody's issue that they're really concerned about today. 2 years from now, it might be. And I want to have sitting on our website the best assembly of information, whether it's 3D visualizations, which we're going to start building, of the Western Bypass, like we did with the water plan. We're using Google Earth and Google SketchUp to allow people to fly through these big infrastructure projects. We're also using it to help people make decisions about buildings being built in Crozet, for example. So if you use Google Earth and you fly around downtown Charlottesville or downtown Crozet, you're going to see buildings popping up out of the ground. And that's because we built them so that people have this fabric of the community, which they can use to look at decisions facing us. So I hear what you're saying about the information overload. My goal is to make it easy and to make sure the content's compelling and accurate and fair, and that when you're ready for it, it's there for you. I'm going to try to get you engaged in it early and keep sending you emails, tweets, Facebook updates, and when you need us, we'll be there.
It is 11:52 here on the Wake Up Call with Brian Wheeler from Charlottesville Tomorrow. Let me thank Blue Ridge Graphics for helping us be here today. Blue Ridge Graphics is at Meade Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom t-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics. Phone them, 296-9746, or keyboard use, brgtshirts.com. And this is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. About 8 minutes left with our guest today, Brian Wheeler. Brian, we're talking about local politics. There's two people, right? You and Sean Tubbs, and there's two interns.
Mm-hmm.
But there are already
the candidates
nearly
have us
a double-digit number of candidates.
That's right.
And they're growing?
We're expecting probably, a dozen or so city council candidates for three seats. There'll probably be at least seven, trying to get the Democratic nomination. In the supervisor races in the county, you have a contested race in the Ravana district with Ken Boyd and Cynthia Neff, contested race in the Scottsville district, Chris Dumler, James Norwood. Ann Malik right now is unopposed, but, she could have a opposition as well. So, part of me, Rick, says this is great. This is what we're all about, is choice. And Charlottesville Tomorrow's role is to make sure you have information on which to make a choice. A story I often tell, when I went in the voting booth in 1999, and I was a student of Larry Sabato's at the University of Virginia, government student, I went in the voting booth in 1999, and I'm clicking away. I knew what I was going to do. I came in with my plan. I'm clicking away on my votes, and I hit the bottom of the ballot. And there staring me in the face was the at-large seat for the Albemarle County School Board. There were three people running. I had no idea who any of them were or what they stood for. And I abstained on that. I mean, I wasn't going to guess. And I left that voting booth and I said, there's got to be a better system here for people to understand local issues and local races. And many years later, Charlottesville Tomorrow was formed. But I tell you, that was an important moment for me, learning about local elections and making sure, that sense of commitment that people need voter guides that are not endorsing candidates, but they're nonpartisan. They just say, we ask all the candidates the same questions, and here's a 20-page voter guide. This is in-depth information. You may have thought, Rick, you don't need that much information, but we're going to give it to you anyway, and we're going to mail it first class to your house and let you think about it for a couple weeks before the election. Come to your own conclusion about which candidate best, meets your needs and your vision for the community. But before Charlottesville Tomorrow put that kind of effort into it, there wasn't an in-depth voter guide that lets you, on growth and development at least, and issues like that around quality of life, really come to a better understanding of where each candidate was.
I realize that I smiled when you said that because for two reasons. One is I'm thankful to have that. And second, because I would, I wish that in some way, receiving that voter guide, I could wave it as I got there, and the people who were trying to get me to vote for their particular candidate would step aside.
Yeah, that would be nice. Wouldn't
that
it?
That would be my you know, part two is thank you for sending it to me. I find it very helpful, and I'm glad to get it. And part two is I got this. Please go away.
Yeah, when I go to Meriwether Lewis, sometimes I go in the back door to vote so that I can avoid the gauntlet. I hear you. I've been out there trying to convince people to vote for me, right, when I was on the ballot. So I know what that process is like.
So we were talking about the number of candidates. It is 11:56 in the wake-up call as we finish our time here with Brian Wheeler from Charlottesville tomorrow. He is the executive director. There's so much. I mean, I mentioned the getting so much information, but there are four of you. The candidates are ever increasing. You're sort of adding that into your 2011 things to do. The number of meetings on the water supply, on the Western Bypass, et cetera, are not decreasing. How can I be assured that Charlottesville tomorrow is providing me with the same quality of information that you were at the start of the year, that you were last year?
Well, gosh, we just have this sense that we have to be there. So for us, it's not an option to compromise on covering these races, covering these most important topics. We do have to make choices. Sometimes there'll be a story that we just can't cover. But my hope is some of our other media partners, whether it's Daily Progress, WINA, whoever, NBC 29, can cover that event. We can't tell all stories. Our goal is to cover as many of them as possible, tell them in the best way we can. And certainly if people want to help us do that, we're a nonprofit. We take donations. We require the support of this community in order to do our work. And that opportunity is for you on our website at SeavilleTomorrow.org. You can make a gift, and we greatly appreciate it. One of the things we're doing is trying to get creative on the sustainable funding question, and that's something that challenges both mainstream media, you know, how they're going to stay in business, but it also challenges us as a nonprofit relative newcomer to this. And we've got some grants that I think are really going to help us in the next year to expand our staff. And I think part of it is getting a critical mass of staff. We need another person in that office in the downtown mall in the Market Street parking garage. We could use another person right now. We'll put them to work. And
I'll be looking on August 1st, I believe.
And I think we'll be expanding to cover other issues, and that will help us as well.
All right. Brian, last word here. Again, we go back to Charlottesville tomorrow, and the key word or key words are unbiased news, correct?
Well, I would say nonpartisan, objective, fact-based.
Thank you. Because I think one of the things that for many people, again, is trying to convince themselves or have you convince them that it is, in fact, nonpartisan.
Well, nonpartisan means you're not endorsing a political party, and we've never done it.
And the difference between nonpartisan and unbiased?
So unbiased means if something's biased, you're taking a position and steering it towards a certain outcome, is how I would describe showing a bias. And, you know, I would enter into evidence the partnership with the Daily Progress. If our stories had a track record of being biased, they couldn't use us as a news partner.
All right, SeavilleTomorrow.org. You can always Google Charlottesville tomorrow, and I think when I did that, 9 out of the 10 items on the first page at the Charlottesville Tomorrow website. Brian, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Enjoy the rest of a beautiful Sunday. Next week, July 3rd, boys and girls, over your holiday weekend, we will be talking about reading Sandy McAdams from Daedalus Bookshop. I'll have a couple guests here from James Madison Regional Library. Tune in and find out what you should pick up or may interest you for the summer.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.